Today we're in lesson 5, and we will be in Ecclesiastes chapter 2. We're going to be looking at verses 12 through 23 today. And in these verses, the preacher now moves on to the certainty and the cruelty of death from the under the sun perspective. In his thinking, death puts the wise and the fool on equal footing. So let's take a look at it. In verse 12, he says this, "Then I turned myself to consider wisdom and madness and folly, for what can the man do who succeeds the king? Only what he has already done." So the preacher continued to search after the meaning of life and followed the lines of wisdom and madness and folly further, but he kind of follows it to the end here. Solomon here is speaking of himself, the king, and he also spoke of a successor. And as it turns out, his successor was Rehoboam. You can read about him in 1 Kings 11, verse 43. Now, Solomon understood that the new king can only do what he's already done. The point is, even for a king, there's nothing new under the sun. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 9. So then he goes on in 13 and 14. He says, "Then I saw that wisdom excels folly, as light excels darkness. The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walks in darkness. Yet I myself perceive that the same event happens to them all." So we see here the preacher contrasts wisdom and folly and the wise man and the fool. Wisdom excels folly, as light excels darkness. And so the wise man sees, has meaning, because they have the light, walks in wisdom, and the fool walks in darkness. Yet even with these opposite lives, what he saw was that the same event happens to them both. No matter how wise one is or is not, how much they do or they do not accomplish, or how much pleasure one has or does not have, the same event happens to them all. They all die. Now in verse 15 and 16, "So I said in my heart, as it happens to the fool, it also happens to me. And why was I then more wise? Then I said in my heart, this also is vanity. For there is no more remembrance of the wise than of the fool forever, since all that now is will be forgotten in the days to come. And how does a wise man die? As the fool." If death ends it all, then this life is robbed of true meaning. Even the good and the great accomplishments of this world are unbelievably temporary and therefore ultimately meaningless. The wise man dies just like the fool. Truly, the preacher looked at this and said, "This is vanity." In verse 17, now he's got a conclusion. He says, "Therefore, in light of all that, I hated life because the work that was done under the sun was distressing to me, for all is vanity and grasping for the wind." Given his premise of life under the sun, Solomon says he hated life because all his works, accomplishments, labors were meaningless. Now in verse 18 and 19, "Then I hated all my labor in which I had toiled under the sun, because I must leave it to the man who will follow, who will come after me. And who knows whether he will be wise or a fool? Yet he will rule over all my labor in which I toiled, and in which I have shown myself wise under the sun. This also is vanity." Well, now we see not only did Solomon hate his life, he also hated his very accomplishments, saying of them, they're vanity. Why? Because he might have to leave all of his work and material wealth to a fool, and this troubled him. Well, actually, this concern is well-founded because after Solomon's death, Rehoboam became the king of Judah, inherited all, and turned out to be a fool in many ways. Just check out 1 Kings chapter 12, 1 Kings chapter 14. So then Solomon goes on to say here another conclusion in verse 20. Therefore I turned my heart and despaired of all the labor in which I had toiled under the sun. He now allowed his heart to despair, as it's really translated, he allowed it to despair. It's translated that way in the Greek, of all his labor in which he had toiled under the sun. With God out of the picture, it's not hard to see how this is the antithesis of what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. In verse 21, Solomon says, for there is a man whose labor is with wisdom, knowledge, and skill, yet he must leave his heritage to a man who has not labored for it. This also is vanity and a great evil. Under his premise, death haunted Solomon, not in the sense that he seemed afraid to die, but he despaired of how death, if it ends everything, makes everything meaningless. And now here he's just going to leave everything he has to someone who didn't work for it. Let's read verse 22 and 23, and then we'll finish up. He says, for what has man for all his labor and for the striving of his heart with which he has toiled under the sun? For all his days are sorrowful and his work burdensome. Even in the night, his heart takes no rest. There is also vanity. If death robs us, or actually robs our work of meaning, then life is indeed sorrowful. Work is burdensome, and there's no rest or relief from the despair of the meaninglessness of life, or that meaningless life that one has then. That's what he's saying. And surely this is vanity. This is futility. This is emptiness to the nth degree. It's worse than vanity, he says. It's great evil. So one of the most bitter thoughts for the person of great material accomplishment is that some fool is going to get everything after I die. So a concise summary for the verses today is this, because it's kind of like a rambling thing all over as he's giving his thoughts. Here's what he's really saying. Solomon considered life from another viewpoint. He looked at his wisdom. That was verses 12 through 17. And at his wealth, verses 18 through 23, in light of the certainty of death. What good is it to be wise and wealthy if you're going to die and leave everything behind? And to make matters worse, leave it to a fool. So Solomon comes to the conclusion that all is vanity, and he hates life. If this really is man's lot in life, where eternity is just a wish, then why does that idea cause discontent? Why is there such a sense of meaninglessness? Now think on this for a minute. A man or a woman may wish that they could fly like a bird, but there's little sense of meaninglessness in the heart of that person because they can't fly like a bird. Why? Because man has not designed us to fly like a bird, but he has designed us for eternity. Thus, the discontent in the heart when thinking that this is all there is. Solomon knew that. In the next lessons, when we finally bring God into the picture of the meaningful life, he says in Ecclesiastes 3:11 that God has put eternity in our hearts. As true Bible-believing followers of Jesus Christ, we should not feel defeated by death. Again, just look at 1 Corinthians 15 and read verses 55 through 58. In a nutshell, this is what it says. And thinking about what Solomon has said here, this is what it means. And the sting of death that Paul talks about is not that it makes life, that death makes life meaningless, that this is all there is. The sting of death is sin. And thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved sisters in Christ, as Paul says in verse 58, again, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You can download the study guide for today's lesson at naomistable.com.